I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Come on, man. Let's get a turnover.
Picked off! Rayshon Jenkins, have a day!
The Rich Eisen Show.
I find it very offensive if I'm thinking about having the job. I need to be doing my job.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. With guest host, Colleen Wolfe. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Rondé Barber. Coming up, NFL Daily podcast host, Greg Rosenthal. ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes. And now, Colleen Wolfe.
Welcome in, everybody. It's a very special Monday here on The Rich Eisen Show. I am not Rich Eisen. I'm Colleen Wolfe, and this has been super fun, gang.
Yeah.
I've never done a radio call-in show, even though we haven't taken a caller yet, but I would love to take a caller at one point I can say that I did that and feel that experience, because I started in sports talk radio. That was how I decided that I was going to even do this as a job. I didn't even know that that was like an option in life. So instead of becoming an art teacher, I walked into sports radio WIP in Philadelphia and said, yeah, no, this is for me. This is what I would like to do.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you, what was the original plan? Yeah. Art teacher?
I was going to be an art teacher. Okay. So by the way, if you guys want to call in, it's 844-204-RICH. My medium is colored pencils. I like acrylic paints. I like pen and ink. I'll do some watercolor sometimes. Okay. But I really like to sketch. I'm a little sketchy anyway. But it was for me when I walked into that studio. This morning show was insane. They were so crazy, and they were just making fun of each other and laughing, and then like just making fun of all of the teams in Philly for losing. And I was like, this is so much fun.
So what year was this?
This was 2003.
Okay.
So it was like right around T.O. in the driveway doing sit-ups. They would send me out and just... they would have me do the craziest things. So when T.O. was going through the contract dispute, they had me stand on 5th and Market in Philadelphia from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. And I had a huge collection, like a clear kind of collection box. And I wore a sandwich board and had a Salvation Army bell and a bullhorn.
You're taking donations for T.O.?
And I was getting donations for T.O. so he could feed his children.
Yep.
And people came by, and they actually were throwing their literal lunches in for him, somewhat like pens to sign a new contract. It was one of my favorite days in Philly. So it was such a great experience. And one of my favorite parts, though, was just sitting in the control room and hearing our producer, Joe Wechter, take the phone call, screen the phone calls coming in, and the characters that would call in.
Oh, yeah.
That was the show within the show. It was so good.
How many times did you hear somebody get called a crumb bum?
Only by our guy that would do all of the impressions for us. Joe Conklin, he was the only one. No one actually kind of did that. Now, a bum, my family, it calls people bums all the time. I think it is actually underutilized, and we should be calling
bring
more people
bum
bums.
Yeah, bum.
Bring bum back.
Bring bum back.
That's my platform.
Go, Trapeze.
Yeah. Well,
we should have a bum of the week or a bum of the day.
Yes. You should. Everyone should. Well, feel free.
Who's your bum of the day today?
Well, the problem is that Rich is too positive for that.
Yeah, he wouldn't like it.
That's a me segment. Yeah.
Bum of the day. Bum of the week.
I don't think I want to call anybody a bum either. Now that I think about it,
it's kind of fun though.
You know, there's definitely a bum from yesterday.
How about a bum? Everyone associated with the Jets, you're all bums.
Oh, not Aaron Glenn though.
Kind of a bum.
I like Aaron Glenn. I want him to succeed.
Yeah. This dude said kind of a bum.
He's excluded. He's not on the bum list.
I don't know about that.
Massive decision to make too with
Justin Fields. It's very easy.
Justin Fields
is a bum. Play somebody else.
Oh my gosh. This is now the bum discussion. This is the bum block.
Make it call Rocky a bum, right?
Rocky was a bum. By the way, Rocky was kind of a bum.
Rocky was not a bum.
Mickey called him a bum.
Until Adrian got hold of him and watched his bumness out. He was a little bit of a bum.
Adrian was also a non-believer.
Can I tell you guys a secret?
You've never seen Rocky? You're fine.
No, please don't say what he just said. Don't say it.
By the way, you're a bum if you've never seen Rocky.
Don't say it. Please don't.
I have. I have seen Rocky. I just haven't seen all of the Rockies.
That's all right. Have you seen two?
Yes.
Three?
No.
You got to see three. Then after that,
there's so many things that I have to do.
No, but that's high on the list.
Including watching Task, apparently.
Task. It's in your backyard.
Task is very heavy.
It is?
It's good, but man, it's just like,
But it's her backyard.
It's another Delco show, baby. And I'm so excited. Apparently, they do the accent great. This is a huge deal because until Mayor of Easttown, it was always done wrong. So that's exciting. And I also have to go home and dig in on this Louvre heist that happened.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
I mean, it's such a busy Monday right now. TJ. With everything that has happened, there's a doubleheader tonight, too.
It's Game 7.
Game 7.
There's a lot going on.
Who has time to do anything?
Who's going
to
walk your dog?
But Rocky 3's got to be on the list of to do. Maybe not today.
Call in if you would like to walk my dog today.
Colleen, I'll do it. I'm close, I think, right?
Speaking of,
you're South Bank.
Let's take this phone call. Let's take line three.
Line three.
Corey in New York. What's up, man?
Corey's up.
Hello?
Corey, talk to us.
What up, G?
Hi. Yes, Corey from Greenwich, New York.
Let's go.
Oh.
Yeah, Corey. All right. So you want to talk a little bit about Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
That's sinister.
How many? This is a mess. The coaching's a mess. The defense is okay. The quarterback situation's a mess. We all thought the offensive line was going to be so great. That's a mess. Wide receiver. Two do we have, or three or four do we have? We might have a one. And how many games do you give the coach if they don't find a win?
So, I mean, are you calling Aaron Glenn a bum? A bum.
That sounds like he's
Corey's calling him a bum.
I can't co-sign that.
It sounds like it, yes.
It sounds like it. Okay. Well,
here's the thing, and Rich has been pointing this out when talking about the Jets season and Aaron Glenn. Dan Campbell started 0-10-1.
This is a fact.
His first year in Detroit, okay? And then the next year they were, 0-6 or 1-6, whatever it was. They got off to a slow start again. However, it was Detroit. You know what I mean? So you kind of expected them to be terrible. And like, why don't you expect the Jets to be terrible? You get a little bit of longer leash when the media scrutiny is less than.
No, that's fact.
And New York, you know, a lot of media scrutiny, a lot of people with microphones and people read newspapers there still. And so I feel like it.
I think more so than anywhere else.
They
probably
print them still for sure.
If they go 1-16, what is the point of keeping this guy around?
Well, so just fire him after one year?
You need to have some patience. Yes. I feel like there needs to be a little bit of patience. Thank you for the call.
Yeah. If there are signs of improvement.
Sure.
Through 7 weeks, what have been the signs of improvement?
Well, you can't look at the defense, which is unfortunate because that is his specialty. And the defense has been underperforming. The entire staff, though, is inexperienced pretty much at the positions that they're in. So this is all new and it's a transition year. I feel like you just kind of have to give them at least a few more games here, right?
I don't know. If you look at the Jets schedule, where are there multiple wins?
Well, so let's see.
They fire the coach. Can the Jets play the Jets?
Are the Jets on their schedule?
It would end in a tie, most likely. So.
Yeah, look, I was calling for my guy last year to be one and done because it was such a disaster and there were very little signs of improvement and that things were trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And if you make a right hire, you get it right, you can see how much culture can get turned around. And you're seeing that in New England this year.
They're going to win week 11.
They have the Dolphins week 14. So
they might.
There's no, that. I'm have the Saints week 16. But
at least the Saints are competitive in most games. Miami is not. So that might be a victory. But who knows?
What about week 8? They're playing the Bengals. Maybe because this defense is struggling so bad in Cincinnati. I don't know whose defense is struggling more, but maybe if they get that win, then Aaron Glenn is safe in the bye week right afterwards.
That would be huge.
Or major, major changes come that bye week.
Perhaps. I don't know. Look, Flacco looked all world on Thursday. Yeah. So
he really did.
You can't anticipate the Jets going in there and slowing them down.
I also don't see Aaron Glenn. This is Rich's team, so I'll go with what he says. I just don't see them letting him go this season.
It doesn't seem like that's going to happen, but you want to see some signs of improvement on the back half of the year. And look, that's going to start at the quarterback position. They weren't fully financially committed to Justin Fields. It was a 2-year, $40 million with only $10 million guaranteed for next year. That is an easy bye-bye to start over with a quarterback in the draft. The problem is that this crop of college quarterbacks right now that everyone thought was going to be amazing, they've really underwhelmed. And so,
isn't that the story every year, though, going into the draft, pretty much, that the quarterbacks are not that great this year?
Yeah, look, last year at this time, Cam Ward wasn't really on anybody's radar as the number one overall pick.
And now he's on the radar for these fumbles.
Man, someone did I saw a side-by-side graphic of his first six games with Will Levis, and Will Levis has double the stats and less, half the turnovers. And you're like, man, I know Will had an injury, and that's why he's out this year, but
who's in worse shape, the Titans or the Jets?
Ooh.
You think that it's the Jets because they don't have a quarterback. You'd think Cam Ward is going to be that guy at some point.
He should be, yeah.
He should be. Does he have enough around him? Unclear. Brian Callen was supposedly an offensive guy, and
he doesn't have an offensive line, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a tough spot. But I think, did Aaron Glenn talk about this? Yeah,
I think we got some sound.
Justin Fields did get benched, and so is it going to be Tyrod moving forward?
Let's hear.
Well, that's something that, I want to continue to look at. Again, it's early on Monday, so I said this yesterday that there's a lot of thought that goes into that. For me personally, and then being able to get with the staff, and then just being able to ask other coaches that have been in the situation, but how would they handle that? So I'm not running away from the question at all, Rich. The thing is, I want to make sure that I make the right decision, and I don't want to make rash decisions either, So I just want to make sure when decision is made, it'll be the right one, and you guys will know that real soon.
Did Rich Eisen ask that question? Was Rich there?
Maybe. I gotta imagine that was Rich Cimini. But that's very logical and a well thought out answer and reasoning with how you want to handle your team moving forward. It's just it's been rough for Fields.
For sure.
To say lightly.
Every stop of the way, and you would hope for him at some point that there is a situation where he goes to the right place with the right coaches and the right people around him.
Yeah, look, it's taken Baker Mayfield a few stops. It's taken Sam Darnold a few stops. Fields was, though, TJ, and we talked about this last year when it happened, 4-2 starting for Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden it was like, bye-bye, this is Russ's team. And
you're right. It takes a few different stops. It's taken a lot of stops for Joe Flacco.
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones is living proof. Look at him.
Can we real quick, though, talk about Joe Flacco? And what,
He's old. How's he doing this?
His glow up is something different. I feel like he's old, but he's still getting it done.
Yeah.
And he might look better now.
He was so terrible on the Browns.
That was higher register.
Like literally like 3 weeks ago, he was awful and should not have been in the league. And now he's back.
Look at him now. This league, it drives me crazy. Week to week, everything changes. And the stories,
it's great.
There's so much that happens in one day. On Sunday, it is like a barrage of action. Right. And for someone who has ADHD, it is like overstimulation to the max. Like, I am trying to figure out how many things I can look at once. But there's and then there's news happening and people are getting injured. And it's just that it's a lot that happens. And then it's like the entire off season we spend talking about the same exact things. So I love this season, and I feel like there's more chaos now than there's ever been before in the NFL. Usually you have the clear front runners, which I guess you could say the Chiefs are coming back around to that.
Yeah, but if the playoffs started today, the Chiefs aren't in the playoffs.
But the playoffs don't start today.
I get it, but that's where we're at right now. Yeah, they look like world beaters, and they're the betting favorites for the Super Bowl.
Of course they are.
Yeah, because I predicted
But if there was like a mass outage and we had to start the playoffs today, tomorrow, they're not in.
Okay. Mass outage.
What's a mass outage?
I don't know. There was an AWS outage today and a lot of things were affected. So
season ends.
If that suddenly just made, we can't play any more football, but we got to do the playoffs tomorrow, they're not in it.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, look, Brockman is just keeping me up to date on all of the headlines right now. Yeah. The heist.
Because he was wearing a jacket.
Outage.
The news jacket.
Yeah.
Greg Rosenthal.
Flacco is the personification in the NFL of you're not ugly, you're poor.
Wow.
Oh my God.
He was, on that note.
He was on the Browns. Poor. Now he's on the Bengals. Hey, they're rich. They got a lot of great weapons and skill people around him. And now he looks amazing.
Yeah, but he won a Super Bowl, so he's already gorgeous.
He looked amazing when he was with the Browns the first time around.
They were rich, and then he got poor again.
No, he won. I hate how that happens.
He's got a Super Bowl ring, so he was already in the pretty list. You know, you can't take him off.
You know who else is on the pretty list?
Who's that?
Our next guest.
Oh,
Greg Rosenthal. He is going to join us coming up. Give us a little recap on all of the action we saw yesterday.
Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. And for a limited time, you can earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 on the Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. Plus, you could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back, making those holiday savings easier. Give joy, get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Offer ends January 1st, 2026.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Welcome back to reality. It is Monday.
Back to reality.
Back to reality.
We're trying to get you in the Olympic
ESPN
gig.
Radio, brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And yes, we are trying to get me on the Olympic coverage. That's what the point of today is. Also, to talk to our friend Greg Rosenthal about all of the craziness that happened yesterday, week 7. Rosie and I work together at NFL Network. We do his great pod, NFL Daily. And Rosie and I have known each other for 12 years now. So it's like we've grown up together. Rosie, I just want to start this off by asking you, I want to let all of the people watching and listening right now know that Greg was in a band called Delaware when he was growing up. And I'm just wondering the status of you finding any of the tapes. Are they out there? Do you have any updates?
You're going to start there. They might be in my closet right now. Okay, they have good. Not been released. Good. If you're comfortable enough asking me that, I just want to know, are you showing up for NFL Daily tomorrow? Just
well, that's up to the NFL. So we have a lot to talk about, but we're going to talk about some of those other things later. Let's talk about what happened with these games yesterday. And I know you're Patriots. We were just talking about the Patriots and Drake May and what a turnaround it's been. How impressed have you been with watching the development of May and just this team in general with Mike Rabel? Because it's such a different vibe now with him compared to years and years and years of Belichick.
Yeah, I feel like Drake May's season right now is like a perfect game that you don't want to talk to anybody about in the clubhouse. Like, I could not have been more high on Drake May coming into the draft before the Patriots even took him. I thought he was my favorite prospect maybe since Andrew Luck. And I don't think people are watching. And it's fair to point out they have played one of the easiest schedules in the league, and it's going to stay one of the easiest schedules in the league. But what he is doing right now, like, if you like flipped his second year and first year, there'd be no question who the best quarterback from that draft class is. Like, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, full stop, right now.
He is. Speaking of quarterbacks in the NFL, we have many questions about Justin Fields, who we covered a little earlier, and Tua Tagovailoa. What should happen? What is the future for both of these quarterbacks? And should there be something, some type of move made by the organization, whether or not a benching or what?
It's interesting when, you know, our colleague Ian Rappaport put out there that no changes are expected right now with the Miami Dolphins. I thought, wait, like, are they considering benching Tua but keeping Mike McDaniel? I do wonder if those two are having like a little bit of a cold war when you listen to some of the comments that happen in the media going back and forth. And Tua has not played well. But ultimately, what are you going to do? You're going to play Quinn Ewers in week eight? I don't think that's an option. So no matter what their plans were at head coach, to me, that's the more logical move if they're going to make one. And then for Justin Fields, it's usually a kiss of death, Colleen. It's kind of a rule on NFL Daily. If the NFL head coach does not commit to a starting quarterback on a Monday, he's making a change on the Tuesday. And they did not commit to Justin Fields today. So I got to think it's Tyrod Taylor this week.
And this is 1 week after Aaron Glenn was asked the same question about Justin Fields. And Aaron Glenn was not happy about it. He's like, oh, come on, man. How's that even a question? Of course it's a question. And now it's even more of a burning question. But yesterday's games, we saw just some wild, wild finishes, especially in the afternoon. Where were you when the Giants and Broncos switched leads 75 different times?
Well, you know, I was sitting at my desk at NFL Network. You know exactly where I was getting ready for the Sunday recap show. And it was tricky because I was watching that Cardinals-Packers game more closely, which was an incredible football game. And it's almost just got overshadowed by everything that happened with Denver and New York. But the moment that Jackson Dart threw that interception,
I was like,
oh, This is really going to happen, isn't it? And I think all Giants fans got that like pit in their stomach, and they watched their defense like not make any changes. I totally get all the Shane Bowen hate today because you're rushing three and you're dropping eight and you're giving Bo Nix all that time at the end of that game, which, you know, I absolutely hate. It's the exact same thing that happened against the Cowboys for the Giants, and it happened. But you got to give Bo Nix a little bit of credit. There was like Tebow aspects to both of these games, yes. Both of these quarterbacks in the game, like the luck touchdown that Jackson Dart got. Like, sometimes the way he plays reminds me a little bit of Tebow, but three quarters of absolutely atrocious quarterback play by Bo Nix, and then 33 points or whatever it was, in 31 points in the fourth quarter. That was some Tim Tebow magic there by Bo
Nix. It was. Theo Johnson is playing a big role somehow. I can't believe he caught that deflection, first of all, and that wasn't his. I don't even know how many touchdowns he has this year, but it is just I was talking about Jackson Dart after the game and his face on the sideline, like the reality setting in for him that they did not win that game. And I wonder how that affects them going forward, because it just felt like they had that spark and they really did believe in themselves. And it's like, we talked so many times this year about how the young players and Cam Scataboo and Jackson Dart come in here and they're not jaded yet. They don't have, they're not beaten down by the losses and the media in New York. And I just wonder if, like, when that starts to seep in, at what point, because it will.
Yeah, I like that you're trying to play this thing straight. Like, you're not enjoying the fact that Jackson Dart woke up this morning and,
you know, I hate it for them so much.
Most people have like their welcome to the NFL moment on the field. He actually had his when he looked at the New York Daily News cover, or was it the Post, where it just says worst loss ever. And who's on the schedule this week, Colleen?
Oh,
second time in 3 weeks.
Oh, I know.
You're Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I know. So it's tough. That's a tough one for them. And we're looking at their full schedule here. And then they have San Francisco, who just had that incredible game last night with Mac Jones, who has this team with 4 wins. Right? They've gone 4-1 with Mac Jones, I believe.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
And even with all of the injuries, it's almost giving kind of like what we were talking about with Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield being able to overcome all of these injuries. But now we're talking about Mac Jones being able to do this with the Niners. And it's like, this was their first game without Fred Warner, and the replacement played really, really well in his spot too. Right, Greg?
Yeah, he was great. And I think Robert Saleh has done a great job coaching up this defense. It makes you just wish they had Fred Warner or Nick Bosa or both, obviously, for the rest of the season, because I think the ceiling for this team would potentially be the Super Bowl. But I love the news that Mac Jones got $400,000 off that game. He needed to win 4 starts at you know, quarterback, where he started the game and they won the game, to make a $400,000 bonus, and he hit that. So, like, Mac Jones is partying somewhere tonight.
What does that look like?
We've seen the man. The man knows how to gritty. I mean, come on.
That's true. He's got cigars for sure. By the way, it was Tatum Bethune. I was thinking Jason Tatum for some reason. Obviously, that was not him. But I knew there was a Tatum involved. So when we look at this defense and the way that the Niners season is unfolding and how crowded the NFC race is, how do you see this stacking up? Because the Rams, they're now a contender too, and we saw what they were able to do without Puka Nacua, and there was no real previous connection with Matthew Stafford and Devontae Adams. They were just not on the same page. The targets were there, but the completions were just not happening. And then yesterday, they figured it out. Obviously, Devontae ran a lot of the things that Puka would run, but it works for them.
I think it was a good reminder for Sean McVay that, like, just don't do everything around one guy. And they're running a lot more 2 tight end, especially 3 tight end personnel in that game. They had more 3 tight end looks than any team in the history of the next gen stats era, you know, since they started keeping track, and way more than the Rams ever had. And they were versatile. They run the ball. I think it's the best division in football. Like, the Seahawks, it's hard for me to get there as Super Bowl favorites, but I kind of think they've been the best team in the NFC this year. And then the 49ers have been great. And the Rams are a totally complete team, but I don't know what to make of them. They haven't won a game in the NFC this year. They swept the AFC South. So they're killing it, killing the AFC, and they have, like, the important part of their schedule still coming up.
So you feel like Seahawks are top tier?
And it's really hard, as you know, for me to get there just like imagining Sam Bradford holding up the NFC championship trophy. Sam Darnold.
Sam Bradford, this is now like the 4th time you've done that.
Because they were having the same career. They were having the same sort of like
they're the same
top
person.
Shelf disappointment. And I got to admit, like, he is an all-pro this year, Sam Darnold. And they're so complete. Like, I love the O-line in terms of pass pro. I love the defense. I love the coaching. I think they would be my pick in that division.
Wow. Well, they'll play tonight. They play the Texans as the second of the doubleheader tonight on Monday Night Football. You know how much I love Sam Darnold. I was on the Sam Darnold bandwagon very early, training camp last year, before everything happened with the Vikings. And then he was unceremoniously discarded for J.J. McCarthy. But that paved the way for Carson Wentz to do what he did and what he's doing now. We got the full Carson Wentz experience yesterday. The first half of him doing, just throwing away these balls and terrible interceptions. The one to Makuba was awful. That was just like very classic Wentz. But it really did warm my heart that the Eagles beat Wentz again in the second game against him.
I mean, do you really need to spike the football on Carson Wentz? You wanted a Super Bowl your whole life, Colleen.
I did.
Would have you have gotten that Super Bowl without the exploits of Carson Wentz going 11-2 in that
MVP
year?
Candidate that year in 2017.
He set it up. Nick Foles knocked it down. And you're right. That game was tough because I thought they were going to replace him with like Max Brosmer or J.J. McCarthy's back this week after that little sequence. But then he played pretty well right. The rest of the game. He always gives you just enough to keep believing.
He does. And I didn't even mean to go down this Carson Wentz alley, but I just made a left turn real quick. However, I was going to go over to Daniel Jones's road because much like my love for Sam, I was going to say Bradford, Darnold, I have this thing with the Colts every single year. I love the Colts. I think they're going to be really good. I am banging the drum early all through training camp. It's like usually my prediction. And finally this year, I was like, I can't do it again, even though I feel it, but I'm out. I can't. And I just want to say you're welcome to everyone in Indianapolis, because this is now the year that they've put it all together. Daniel Jones, what have you thought so far about this Colts team? Because no one, obviously they have Jonathan Taylor, who he's been a huge part of their success, and he's going to be an obligatory running back that gets into the MVP conversation, because we always know that it's going to be a quarterback anyway. But Daniel Jones still, I don't think, really gets the credit, and this team is 6-1.
They have statistically one of the best offenses through 7 weeks in NFL history. Like, you can look at it any type of way. Yesterday in that game when they finally punted, I think it was late third quarter, it felt like a miracle for the Chargers, who are supposed to be a pretty good defense and have all their players healthy, to get even one stop. And there are a ton of easy buttons for Daniel Jones, but there's three or four throws every week, and I don't know what sort of confidence Shane Steichen got into Daniel Jones, where he reads the blitz, he stands in against pressure, and he makes a very tough throw. And you just weren't seeing those passes since maybe his rookie year with the Giants. And if you want to enjoy another Giants loss, them watching Daniel Jones be the number one quarterback in the league, like,
you know,
on the best team.
You know me so well, Greg.
Like, that's a huge L. That's like the worst level of L as a sports fan.
It is to watch Saquon and then Daniel Jones.
Which one just do you think stings more?
It's got to be Saquon.
Does it?
Well, because the Daniel Jones one hasn't played out all the way yet. So if the Colts win a Super Bowl with Daniel Jones,
that'd be hilarious.
Oh my God. Man, yeah. Then I don't even know. You have to get a shaman and like some sage and just like really clean out that entire building, because the Jets too. Maybe it's the Jets' bad juju that's getting on the Giants.
On the Giants? Oh, wow.
I don't know. Right. Greg, when we were talking about a little bit with the parity in the NFL right now and how chaotic things seem, where are your tiers right now in terms of the contenders?
It's annoying, but I thought about it last night, and okay, I felt this even going into it. If you could pick one team that's by far the most likely team to be playing in the Super Bowl, it's so obviously the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, nobody loves that for America, who wants chaos. Like, we can say it's chaos, but the Chiefs are, to me, a tier apart, which seems crazy at 4-3, but I think they've solved a lot of their defensive problems. And then, it's a whole morass after that, because I don't think your Eagles are far apart from like the rest of the four or five NFC teams that you would want to throw in there. Mm-hmm. Detroit, Green Bay, I would throw Seattle and the Rams in. Like, it's all just one soup. And then as much as the Colts have been impressive and like kind of deserve to be that next team down below the Chiefs, to me, after the Chiefs, it's just kind of everyone else.
And the Broncos, 5-2, their defense, it's been really, really good, but and we talked about that game already a bit, but Sean Payton, I visited their training camp this year, and he was talking about how their first preseason game was at Levi Stadium, and they were playing the Niners. Mm. And he talked to the team about how they were going to start the season there, maybe potentially, who knows where it ends, but a full circle moment. And that really stuck with me, just like the visualizing that in general and how beautiful the symbolism would be. But they're 5-2 now. They've won 4 in a row. They're rolling. Now, they haven't been the prettiest of wins. But you also have teams in here in the NFC like the Bears, who are 4-2 with Ben Johnson, and they've won 4 straight. And things started out pretty rough, but what kind of job do you think Ben Johnson has done with the offense, the team in general, and Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams is coming off a rough game that they managed to survive. And, you know, according to Troy Aikman, like 2 rough games. I thought people were a little hard on Troy. Like, he likes what he likes. I see it too. Caleb Williams is holding on to the ball forever, but they came out of their bye. And I think this is a great sign for the Bears, and I'm not surprised, but I think coaches really show who they are coming out of the bye week, like what they've tightened up, what they want to focus on, what's improved. And they look like a completely different run defense, and they look like a completely different offensive line up front. So they are running the ball really well, opening up big holes for DeAndre Swift. And that's where a Ben Johnson offense really should start. And they invested a lot. You'll remember in the offseason, we were all excited about the offensive line. Didn't look good early, and they've cleaned it up. So they're in the mix. I think Bears fans got to be just happy that they're going to be playing meaningful games in December. Broncos fans are a little different. I don't know if you like track this during the game, but like late third quarter, all Broncos fans like hated on Sean Payton, wanted him to give up the play calling. Like, they want to blame Sean Payton because they can't blame Bo Nix.
The timeline is incredible.
It really is amazing, because you can't blame Bo Nix, but Bo Nix, if this was his rookie year, people were like, would be like, is Bo Nix really like worth being the 12th overall pick? It's been a shaky, weird year for Bo Nix.
Yeah, but to your point, things completely changed by the end of that game. And it was like from one end of the spectrum to the other. And that is just the beauty of sports in general, how quickly these opinions can change and how quickly just everything, the narratives shift in this league. Because I think about teams like the Panthers, who now they've won 3 straight. And like, of course, you have to look at the schedule, and Bryce Young is out next week. Andy Dalton will get the start. We love Andy Dalton getting out there, getting some run. But I think about teams like the Panthers, who at least they're showing some signs of life here, and that they have the ability to have a little bit of an improvement, unlike the Jets. And it just seems like everything is such a struggle with New York. And I think about the Arizona Cardinals, for instance, too. I mean, this team has come so close and now has so many losses by just the skin of their teeth, Greg.
Yeah, I feel for them. Cardinals fans are done with this regime, and I think they should be more patient. It's curious, though, because they've clearly looked like a better offense with Jacoby Brissett. They're a different offense with Jacoby Brissett. Like, they're under center, play action, going through Trey McBride. The running games looked better, at least, even without their 2 best running backs, Trey Benson and James Conner. And they just keep losing these close games the last 2 weeks to really good teams. I listen to a lot of team podcasts, Colleen. No fans are happy right now. Packers fans aren't happy. They didn't win by enough. Cardinals fans are so unhappy. And I actually think that game was like a really good game between a desperate Cardinals team that probably should have found a way to win. And I wouldn't be that worried from the Packers side, but just be patient. They've played the Colts and the Packers to the final whistle 2 straight weeks. I don't think they're quite done yet.
being happy is not what being an NFL fan is all about. Like, you're not supposed to be happy. Your team, unless your team is winning every single week without any type of issues and then winning every Super Bowl, you're going to be annoyed about something. And that's the beauty of it. I think that's why I love football, because I like reasons to be annoyed. Greg Rosenthal, you've done it again. Thank you so much, my friend, for stopping by. Maybe I'll see you next Tuesday. That we do Tuesdays on the podcast together, our episodes. So potentially I'll be there tomorrow. And otherwise, you guys can check Greg out every day, NFL Daily. It's an awesome show. We vote quarterbacks on and off the island. And also Game Day View, correct? Fridays?
That is Fridays. Love you, Colleen, whether you're there tomorrow or not.
Love you back. Thank you, Greg. There he goes, off to the podcast studio. And here we go, off into our break. We will be back right after this.
I didn't think the pain from the shingles rash would affect simple, everyday tasks like bathing, getting dressed, or even walking around. I was wrong. Though not everyone at risk will develop it, 99% of people over the age of 50 already have the virus that causes shingles, and it could reactivate at any time. I developed it, and the blistering rash lasted for weeks. Don't learn the hard way, like I did. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today. Sponsored by GSK.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Welcome back to ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we were just talking about candy corn versus Peeps and which one is worse.
Oof.
I don't know why they even subject us to this anymore. Who is eating these? Why?
Maybe that's a great question.
If you want to call us and let us know why, 844-204-RICH. Gang, we had some injuries yesterday at the quarterback position.
We did.
We should talk a little bit about those.
I think we should.
Jaden Daniels. Yikes. He suffered that hamstring injury during the loss to TJ's Cowboys.
Sorry.
He will undergo, your apology accepted. He'll undergo an MRI on Monday to determine the severity of that. But it happened during a strip sack in the third quarter. Dan Quinn, he hasn't provided any specific details, just stating only that Daniels will have that MRI. So we'll see how much time he ends up missing. Marcus Mariota finished the game for Washington, so he is the replacement for now if they have to go to him. The Commanders, actually, their next game is the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. So we will all get the pleasure of watching that. Hopefully it's Jaden Daniels.
If he can't play, right? Should they flex out of that? Into a better game?
Yeah.
With all due respect to Marcus Mariota, nobody wants to watch him on Monday Night Football. So should we flex out of that if he can't
I
go?
Would love that. Flex on him. Let's go.
But I think Monday Night Football does have flex scheduling at some point. Right?
It's not yet, though.
No, it doesn't start yet?
Uh-uh. I was thinking in my head, does it start now already? It doesn't.
What game are they? Would you take? Look at the Sunday. Like, I want to see.
It can be used twice. Oh, wait, that's Sunday. Monday Night Football, maybe used. Hold on a second. I got it.
I know Thursdays obviously can.
Yeah, you got to be.
Any week between weeks 12 and 17 for Monday night.
Yeah.
You can actually flex Thursday night.
Yeah.
Between weeks 14 and 16.
Okay. That's just those 2 weeks?
Yeah, just a bunch of those 3 weeks. Yeah.
Rules. I don't really.
Sunday night football flex can be used twice between weeks 5 and 10, and any week 11 to 17.
Okay.
So we haven't had any Sunday night flexes yet.
I'm anti-flex.
What do you mean?
Really?
I never liked the flex.
Why?
Because working for Fox for as long as I did, we lose a good game. I hate having that. Because you only get, I don't know how many you can protect.
You're just a company man, and you just want Fox like to be, NBC, have all the glory.
But I do like the fact that NBC always really does have one of the best games of the week, because it's like that Sunday night game is that ends your, like, obviously week. Monday's a new week, I get it. But in saying that, it still ends that week, which I love.
It's true. I hate it for the fans who buy tickets to the games and then they get flexed and like
problem.
Times change and like days, especially if it's like a prime time and they're going to flex like a Thursday or whatever. You've taken off work. You've maybe bought plane tickets. This is a lot of money. So
that I do understand.
I don't love, but I do like when I get a better game in a primetime spot. I mean, that's always, that's nice. Also, we had Carolina Panthers quarterback Bryce Young. He's expected to miss at least this game coming up against the Bills after suffering a high ankle sprain during Sunday's game against the Jets. So an MRI happened today. And so he twisted his right ankle. I don't know if you guys saw the play while he was being sacked in the third quarter. So it's something, I mean, high ankle sprain, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one, yeah.
And Andy Dalton will be out there in as his replacement against the Bills.
The Red Rifle is back. We needed him in our lives.
Can
I missed
talk
him.
Talk about his hair.
Elite hair. His first hair. Team all hair.
Yesterday, I caught a glimpse of Josh McCown on the sideline, just in the background. And I was like, oh, my God, look at that Lego hair. It's so good. He has incredible hair as well. But it is like Lego hair in the best way possible. Yeah. And his kids have it, too. It's like a gene that has been passed down. Oh, I really appreciate good hair in general. What?
Someone wants to talk Peeps.
Oh, my God. Yay.
You want to put them on? Mo. Yeah,
Mo.
We only have a minute. Just hold on a second. Okay.
Hold them.
All right. Okay.
I did put up a poll at Rich Eisen Show. Which is worse, candy corn, Peeps? Peeps, 65% early out of the gate.
Wow.
Yeah, people like candy corn.
Ooh, circus peanuts. That's a good one.
I said that. Remember I did a list before? Like the worst one. The those worst Halloween candies? And those three were, I don't mind Peeps, but the orange little circus peanuts that taste like a,
I don't know if
sponge.
I know what those are.
Well, you know what? Good on you then, because you don't
eat those,
you know?
Yikes.
I'll show you in the
I don't like Milk Duds. They're duds to me.
Same.
Yeah.
Do you like Goobers?
Whoppers.
Not
no
really.
Way.
Really?
I'm like a non-Purell gal.
I don't even know what that is. Is that chocolate?
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.